So now that we've established that it is a damn expensive thing to compute whether there is a static evaluation strategy for all possible inputs of that are possible from our attribute system, we might wonder what to do now. Well, there's several ways out of that. So the first thing would be to completely give up and just let the user specify the strategy. So with that, the user has the responsibility for specifying a terminating approach. Yeah? Of course, that is a possible way of doing that. However, it's not a particularly sophisticated approach. Yeah? So we bail out by just letting the user solve the problem for us. So maybe not a very very high level thing to do. The other thing would be to determine the strategy dynamically. That is also a way of somehow bailing out, since we don't even try to come up with a static evaluation strategy and just keep to that. Instead, we just say that every problem is to be solved dynamically with all the pros and cons that we get with that. So it's also kind of bailing out. So what is usually done in such situations is that if we can't solve the problem for the general case in an efficient way, let's have a look at more restrictive cases, so-called subclasses, and have a look at subclasses that are easier to check. Yeah, and that is what we're going to focus on the next few slides. Yeah, so there is the idea of a subclass that is called the strongly acyclic grammars, and they depend on the notion of strongly acyclic attribute dependencies. Yeah. So what is that, you might wonder, and we can directly tell you that instead of looking at the exact dependencies that global dependencies that arise between the attributes of a particular node in the syntax tree, we instead will look at a so-called over-approximation of the global dependencies, meaning that if in this world of strongly acyclic attribute dependencies there is a dependency between the attributes of a particular node, this does not necessarily mean that there actually is a dependency, because this is an over-approximation. We might have more dependencies than there are in reality. However, what is guaranteed is that if in our world of strongly acyclic attribute dependencies there is no dependency between two attributes of a node, then there also is none in the real world. Yeah. So this is a valid way of specifying over approximations that are somewhat only halfway reliable. So only the absence of a dependency is the reliable thing in there. The other one might be a little bit more coarse, but that enables us to get rid of a few computations that make the whole system so damn expensive to compute. Yeah. So what is now the idea of setting up this strongly acyclic attribute dependencies? Well, for that, we first of all organize carriers for information, in the sense of that we specify that each non-terminal, being like a source for several attributes, is now mapped to a set of relations that serves for specifying these over approximations of the global dependencies. So in R of X, we store all the global dependencies that we find out for X, and a few more coming to an over approximation. These sets can be considered quite similar to those that we have already seen, that are like the local dependency graphs for each production. So these over-approximations of global dependencies follow a similar format. They consist in tuples where there's a dependency from one attribute to the other. The only difference from of the global dependency over approximation to the local dependencies is that we are talking about dependencies for a node. Thus, there is no need for indexing parents and children, so the index part can be removed, stripped from that. Whereas in the local dependency graph, we are talking about a particular production, thus a particular subtree, thus there is need for indexing for parents and children. Yeah. So the type, so to say, of this R of X thing is like just a set of tuples of attribute names. Yeah. And they specify global dependencies, and they are the whole set is considered to be an over approximation of the real global dependencies. So with that out of the way, we now need to set up a way of actual computing in that world. What do I mean with that? Well, usually these global dependencies are a consequence of a non-terminal not living just isolated in the world, but being in the context of a syntax tree somehow. And that means that the way that syntax trees are set up determines how the dependencies, particularly the global dependencies, can look like. So for that to be paid respect, we need to somehow reflect the effect of each production's dependencies on the relations that we keep for the root node of each production. Yeah? So we specify how each production's effect influences the over-approximation of global dependencies of the focused root node. Yeah. And the question is, how can we connect these with each other? Well, we have on the right-hand side of these productions mentioned other symbols of this grammar. And for those, we also keep over approximations of global dependencies in their respective RXIs. Yeah? So what we can do conceptually is we can take the so far accumulated global dependencies from these RXIs, put them into the local dependencies implied by the production, and out of that get a few new facts about global dependencies that may be valid for Rx. Yeah? And what we will do now is we will set up such a system where we describe how the influences between those items are and just compute this effect over and over and over again. We iterate until at some point we reach a stable system, and it will be stable since the worst thing that we can get is that we have to iterate from a system with no dependencies to a system where everything depends on everything. This is of course bad, but it's a state in which we can't grow any larger anymore, because when we have interconnected every attribute with every other one, there's nothing changing anymore. So this is a stable state, and with that we can kind of terminate in that sense. Yeah. So this will be a terminating algorithm. So now that we have had like a rough intuitive description of what we're going to do, let's dive right into the nasty formalisms that we need for that. So bear with me, we have to endure a little bit of formalisms, but they just describe all the steps that we already had here. Yeah, so this is going to be a multi-step thing. So first of all, we need a way of setting dependencies between attributes in their respective context whenever we talk about these attributes in like a subtree. So what we are talking about is now that we are given a set of dependencies in their format, like attribute is depending on another attribute, attribute B is depending on attribute A, for example. When we stay to in this notation, yeah. And what we want to do is we want to put that into context, particularly if you want to put these dependencies into a subtree where this is like meant to be a child. We need to put indices for their position in the tree to these attributes. Yeah? So that's what we're going to do. So this operator brackets I just appends like the index where we find this particular attribute in this current subtree to each of these attributes, and that is all that it does. So it's just a redecoration that pays respect to the position within the tree that these dependencies are considered. Yeah? So that is one component that we need. Next thing that we need is kind of the reverse thing, which means it's a projection. And we project out certain elements of the tree that we are not interested in anymore. Particularly what we're going to need here is that we want to focus on the dependencies of root elements only in some step of the algorithm. Yeah. So what we want to focus on is from a particularly connected or some tree that has relations in there, just focus on the topmost layer, so to say, and project away everything else. And this is what this P0, 0 for parent level, projection does. So it projects onto just relations between root elements. Yeah. So what it does is it takes all the relations between root elements, thus the ones with 0 in this index, and takes them into a new undecorated set. Yeah. In terms of graphical representation, what it does is it just takes away everything else. Yeah. So just two tools in order to put things into the context or remove them from their context. Next tool that we need is a little bit more complex one. So this is the abstract interpretation of a particular production. Yeah. So this is meant to be applied with a production as a parameter. And what this does is it will establish the effect that a particular production has on over-approximated dependency relations of children and parent. Yeah. So this will particularly take the dependencies that are collected for the children and compute the dependencies that are valid for the attributes of the parent out of that. And it does so by making use of the operators from above, particularly the redecoration and the root projection, as well as transitive closure and local dependency graph. And it does so in the following way. It expects the dependencies of the children. So it works for k children if the production has k right-hand side symbols. It takes those dependencies and puts them into their respective positions by redecorating them accordingly, and merges these effects with each other together with the local dependencies from DP. Yeah. And out of that, what it does is it computes the transitive closure. So if there's chains of dependencies, we also get a direct dependency out of that. And if that is done and everything is completely transitively closured dependent from each other, what we then do is we remove the now superfluous children from the picture and just keep the dependencies for the parent. Graphically speaking, what we do is we have certain parameters that we are given in form of L1 and LK. Those are the ones that are given down the, oh, sorry, wrong color. That are given down, no, again, that are given down there. And you see there were not particularly many in this particular drawing. There's just one dependency of global dependency of E and N. And they are now put into their respective place by redecorating them with their positions and are added to the local dependencies. Yeah, so this creates an image like this one if the local dependencies look accordingly. Yeah? And now, after that, we do the transitive closure and project out. And if you compare those two, there was a dependency that started from E attribute, went over there, and the transitive closure will create one dependency out of that that goes from E to N. And of course, all of the others also. So there's one that goes there, and same for this one, and all that. So all of those are created. And not to clutter this image, I didn't put them directly on there. Instead, I already went one step further and applied the root projection, which means that we only focused on all the dependencies that are directly in the on the level 0, and this is what we get with that. Yeah? So this is a complex operation, uses redecoration and root projection, and all in all it will be one of these steps of computations that we need to do. So this is one step that incorporates all the effects of the children and out of that computes the effect on the parents' attributes. Yeah. So with that now we can set up this complete system of sets of over approximations of global dependencies, which is this R mapping. And this maps symbols to relations that should symbolize global attribute dependencies, or at least an over approximation of those. And this, they are depending on each other. Yeah, so the mapping for a symbol X is depending on mappings of the symbols X1 and XK. When is that the case? If there is a production that has the X as its left-hand side and symbols X1 to XK as right-hand side symbols. Yeah? Then there is a dependency between those. And what is done is the relations that are already present for the symbols X1 to XK are put into the operation that we have talked about right before, together with the correct production. Yeah, so this is put in there, and this leads to the dependencies taken from Rx1 to Rxk being taken into their local context given by P, and out of that we get an influence on or get a notion of how this particular production influences the root symbol of that particular subtree. And what then happens is that this might not be the only production that there is for that non-terminal. So we join via union all the possible alternatives that there are for expanding X and join all those effects into one dependency set or over approximation for X. Yeah. Okay, and that is all that we need for characterizing these strongly acyclic attribute dependencies. So there's a few things that you might notice for that. So just for information, so this is the solution for this inequality system Rx characterizes the class of strongly acyclic dependencies. So the solution of that is then the strongly acyclic dependencies. And this actually has a unique least solution as the effect that is applied here is a monotonic thing. So this is nice properties that we need for fixed point iteration later on. But this is a thing that I don't want to go too deeply into. If you're more interested in that, you might consider taking program optimization instead. Yeah. But this is our way that we have here for computing such an over-approximation of strongly acyclic attribute dependencies.